The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
How do we process scary world news? And then why is repentance essential to our faith? You're listening to The Common Good. Hey, friends, welcome to The Common Good here on AM 1160, Hope for Your Life, alongside Aubrey Sampson. My name is Brian Fromm. So glad to have you with us on a Thursday afternoon. Aubrey, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
It's just Thursday. How are you today?
It's Thursday.
Yes.
I'm grand. How are you, sir?
You're grand.
I'm speaking very formally to you. I'm going to call you sir. I'm going to use words like grand.
Finally.
That's going to make Thursday a little more whimsical.
We're going to play a game called Formal Thursday. That's what we're going to become now here on The Common Good. Aubrey, I was telling you, every now and then you're like, oh, my kids are getting older now. I got a picture from my daughter at college yesterday of her getting a tattoo. I don't know if I'm supposed to share that, but that made me look at my life.
Oh, you shared that with the world just now. Okay.
That makes me look at my life and go, she has flown the nest.
Wow. She didn't even ask your permission. She just went for it and paid for it.
She doesn't need to. 19 years old, right? But, so that's where I'm at today. Like, another time where, they used to, we're only, 15 years ago, the girl had to ask me for everything at every moment. And now it's like, have fun. There you go.
So go get a tattoo. Did she pay for that with her own money, or did dad's allowance pay for that?
No, Dad did not.
Okay,
was unaware completely. Anyway, another just kind of fun thing of life moving forward at rapid paces.
Do you have any feelings about it? Like, oh, I wish she wouldn't have, or you just whatever?
No, I'm thrilled for her. Yeah. She's having fun. Yeah. It was fun. And all good. So,
Cool.
But it's one of those where you're like, oh, okay, kids are getting older and they're doing their thing. They are their own people, and we're gonna laugh about this. So I have no desire. You have tattoos, right?
Mm-hmm. I do have a few tattoos.
I don't know. I don't have any desire to. I don't know. I don't know if it's like the secret fundamentalist in me, or it's just a lack of, I don't desire pain, or
I
like
some
I don't.
People just don't like them too. Like, and that's okay. You know, it is obviously permanent, so you can't go back. I mean, unless you got like laser surgery or something, but like.
But you said it's not all that painful, right?
I don't find tattoos painful. I haven't gotten them in super like tender spots, so that might be part of it. And I'm just super tough in general. So, but I mean, I know there are some places that are like, my husband has one on his like underarm. I don't know, like the bottom of his bicep. And even all the tattoo artists were like, oh, I can't believe you're getting a tattoo there. Cause apparently that's really tender. And he said he felt it. Like he was like, I felt that.
Is that his I Heart Aubrey tattoo? Is that the one?
Okay. I Heart Mom, I Heart Aubrey. Can I? This is going to sound maybe sadistic, so like I might need to unpack this in a therapist's office. But my tattoos have always been after someone close to me passed away.
Oh.
And so there has been something, this is going to sound weird. I'm going to say it out loud, though. I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud. There's something therapeutic about the pain. Like, there's something that kind of, like, matches the grief.
I get it.
That I don't mind, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not going to go looking for it. Like, I'll be clear about that. But, like, it like, felt right.
So, two things there. That totally makes sense. And you should probably get a therapist to unpack that with you.
I need some help. That can go dark for some people, I realize. I'm not there. I'm just saying specifically in these scenarios.
It's also our next tagline. The Common Good. Go talk to a therapist. All right. Speaking of pain, speaking of fear, whatever way we can jump this. Aubrey, I was watching the news, and my youngest daughter was in the room the other day, and they started talking about our deteriorating relationship with Vladimir Putin. So I'm jumping big here, okay?
Wow.
So just yesterday, Vladimir Putin vows to strengthen Russia's nuclear forces after suspending role in a key treaty. That treaty with America, with the United States, basically says, if we're going to test nuclear weapons, we're going to tell you about it. Right. Basically is what it is.
Yeah.
He's talking tough. He's talking tough. You read things of North Korea or other people firing off missiles. President Biden, in response to Putin, said something like, this is a big mistake.
Yeah.
I'm not at all suggesting that we're on the brink of nuclear war. But anytime that leaders start talking this way and acting this way, it's scary. It's kind of like,
it's totally scary.
And yes. I had my daughter's 13 years old. Like, she knows what's going on in the world. I still had the inclination of like changing the channel or turning it down, like not
so
wanting her
see
to see this. Which is silly. They're talking about these things in school. They're doing all these things.
But it's also a dad's protective instinct. I understand that, too.
So to people who... I'm not going to ask you for your geopolitical ideas of what Putin's doing. But what I am going to ask you is scary things in the news. Like global things. Like, no, I'm not even talking about like... You know, there was this one incident in our...
Right.
No, I'm talking like global. This is...
things.
It's not out of... I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, but you could see a pathway where this is like cataclysmic beyond anything you've ever imagined. For a lot of people, that probably induces a lot of fear. So, We talk about evil and hard times. How do we as Christians? How about global evil, global hard times?
Yeah.
How do we as Christians process that? Think about that. What do you do with that?
Yeah, there's actually someone in my life, a family member, who gets very anxious about this kind of news and will often send me news and will often be like up at night, unable to sleep. I tend just not to have that type of anxious response to a lot in life, and I just think that's how I'm built and the grace of God. Like, so I can't be like, oh, it's because my faith is so strong. I think it's a little bit of wiring. That said, I do think, like, in those kinds of situations that are scary, like, I'm willing to say that is scary. It's not going to keep me up at night because I know I can't control it, but I am going to go, okay, that's scary. I do think, like, this is where the anchor of our faith really does matter. Like, there are things we have to sort of go, okay, I am putting my trust and my hope in God is good. Even if something terrible happens, God has the final say. I will be with Jesus and my loved ones will be with Jesus, even if the worst possible thing happens. And I trust that God has power over this and God is sovereign. Like, it's like you have to put your faith in the anchors. And then I think from the anchored place, you can let yourself kind of go, ooh, but this is really scary. God, why doesn't it seem like you're working? Ooh, but what if Putin has more power than I think he does? God, what if you don't stop it? Then what? Ooh, like, it's like you allow yourself to ask all the hard questions you want to ask about evil, but from that anchored place, like you're tethered to that anchor place and you move outward connected to the tether. I think once you untether from the truth of God's character and the storyline of the gospel, that can get really dark, really anxiety building, really like fearful. And God doesn't want us to live like that. What do you think, Brian?
I think you're right on. I do think that I like that you said, what's the worst that could happen? Like, sometimes that's healthy to go, if all my fears came true here, what's the worst that could happen? Okay, this world kind of goes, but I've got... You know, I've got eternity with Christ to look forward to. And then I think it's a perspective shift, or not even a shift. It's a reminder that says, I'm not promised good in this world. We know throughout all of history, there have been leaders who have been evil, who have done evil things. But guess what? That's never done. Those leaders have never defeated Jesus, to use that kind of language. Jesus is still, he was on the throne during the Roman government and all their stuff. He was he was on the throne when Hitler was doing his thing.
Yes.
He's on the throne now. And he's present. But we can also look forward to Putin's not going to ultimately win. Hitler didn't ultimately win all of these things. So I do think it's important to tell people you could feel fear, but I don't think that needs to paralyze us as we read these things. We could go about realizing what's ultimate. So I thought
and
about
I think
that.
To remember too, like part of Jesus being on the throne means like Putin's gonna have to stand before him, and like woe to Putin to standing before the Lord. You know what I mean? So like I think some sense of justice can rise up, righteousness can rise up in us as well when we go, well, God's gonna deal with him.
That's good. You know? That's good. That verse in the book of Luke, right? Woe to you Pharisees. Woe to you this. Woe to you Putin. I think it's right there. well, that's good. That's good. Because I did see this today and I was like, gosh, I didn't know it was like that. That's Woo! Now you're talking nuclear weapons. And
that's
I'm real. Like,
that's
ah,
good.
Okay. Yeah. Like to believe that I like not even know about it. And so, but we could trust. We could trust that our God is more powerful and he is in control. Well, coming up next, we couldn't be more excited about the movie coming out tomorrow.
So
Jesus Revolution. A lot of people talking about this movie. A lot of people excited for this movie. And so we are thrilled to be joined by one of the co-directors of Jesus Revolution, Brent McCorkle. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Common Good, AM 1160, Hope for Your Life, alongside Aubrey Sampson. My name is Brian Fromm. So glad to have you with us today. And Aubrey, we couldn't be more excited about the movie coming out tomorrow.
So
Jesus Revolution. A lot of people talking about this movie. A lot of people excited for this movie. And so we are thrilled to be joined by one of the co-directors of Jesus Revolution, Brent McCorkle. Brent, how you doing today, bud?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we talk about the movie, what's it like that it's coming out tomorrow? Is this like having a kid?
That's a great question.
Like, what is going on in your soul right now?
Similar analog to a kid. For me, it's more like your kid's first day of kindergarten.
Interesting.
Yeah,
a little fear.
You spent time with them. You've raised them. You've taught your kid the best morals and poured everything you can. But man, at some point, dude, they leave you. I'll never forget. It was a hard day for me. I took my little daughter. She was a small frame little kid, but I took her to kindergarten. And she walked up, and I was already heartbroken, but she didn't have enough strength to open the door of the school.
Oh!
And then I lost it. And, a teacher ultimately came and let her in. But man, it's got to – this movie, she's got to go out there and find her own life and have the struggles. But hopefully – make a lot of friends along the way and find the purpose and the meaning and, all that. So, for me, it's letting your kid go, out into the world.
That is such a great metaphor.
For sure.
I love that. Well, okay, Brent. So for people who don't actually know about the Jesus Revolution that happened, but then the movie Jesus Revolution, tell us what's it about. Give us the background.
Yeah, so in the 60s, it's just a desperate, terrible time for America and really for the world. A lot of people thought the world was ending, honestly. I mean, you had the Vietnam War, you had the rise of the Cold War, you had multiple assassinations, you had America's own state troopers gunned down student protesters at Kent State. You had the countercultural movement, you had the civil rights movement. Not only was it a really dark time, you had all this division, around Vietnam and just where the country was going at large. And a lot of comparisons and analogs to today, honestly, just so much division and strife and hate, people not seeing eye to eye, people screaming at each other in the streets. And honestly, man, there was just so much despair and despondency. So in the middle of all this, the hippies ejected out of culture and created the countercultural movement, rock and roll and free love and LSD. And, they rejected categorically the direction that their parents took with.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. It had gotten really, really material and very plastic. And it was, that's where the phrase keeping up with the Joneses came up. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from. And the kids were like, we just don't, mom and dad, we just don't want your life. We just don't want this. So a lot of kids ran away. The hippie movement I actually think could have been sustainable. But what happened was there were a lot of real hippies, and then there were just a lot of kids that ran away from home, and they all went to San Francisco, and they crashed the entire city.
Yeah.
There was like more population in San Francisco than the actual city itself could handle, and they crashed the entire.
No way. Like the infrastructure of the city.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really the fastest thing that ended the hippie movement, was all the teenage runaways kind of wannabe hippies, you know. But it was very sad, man. I watched a bunch of documentaries, and like parents would go up to San Francisco, like their kids dropped out on them. Like they didn't even know if their kids were alive or not. It was a really sad time. So there was some archive I watched where people had put posters like, "Have you seen my child?" You know, and it was a very dark time in America. In the middle of all this, the hippies hit a wall because there's this intangible thing that we're all searching for, and they were looking for it in a lot of different places. And they actually returned back to spirituality, and some would argue, as my co-director would, that it was a quest for spirituality and God and meaning all along. And they were just trying all these different things. Dare in Southern California in 1969, this hippie street preacher dares this conservative, white, very, you know, moralist pastor to open up his door to these hippies. And at the time, the hippies were scorned. I mean, we have Reagan on tape just trashing the hippies. Like, you know, they were just not, they were not appreciated in society at all. They were viewed as a scourge for society. So for Chuck Smith, the pastor of Calvary in Southern California, to open up his door to these kids that were maligned and written off as losers was a huge step. It was huge. It was huge. And he didn't really want to do it, but he became convicted and ultimately opened up his doors to these hippies and these disparate groups of people come together under the banner of Christian love and inclusion, unity, belonging, compassion, empathy, you know, a lot of the things I believe are the core tenets of Christian faith. And they find a way to make it work. So with Chuck's obedience, letting the hippies in, but the hippies also bring in the love and the peace and the freedom. Yeah. And the kindness.
Right. Right.
And together they kind of made this beautiful new gumbo, you know, of Christianity. Yeah. Never really existed before. And and obviously a lot of comedy ensues and a lot of heartfelt moments. And our movie just, it has something for everybody. And
that's awesome.
It's crafted with a lot of love. There were a lot of people of faith that worked on this film, but we had people from all walks of life on it. And man, we just, I don't know, it was it's the most beautiful thing I've ever worked on. And the vibe was so great on set, and everybody showed up to work so hard. But beyond that, it was a beautiful, beautiful manifestation of love in this time of hate. And I really I do hope this movie is a callback to the simplicity of the love of God, which I believe in firmly. There's a love out there that doesn't have to exist for the universe to work, but it is, and it's like the highest form of spiritual power out there. We're just, it's a callback to that. It's a return to that. And
it's awesome.
And we get, for a few moments, we get to see these people that you wouldn't expect to find love for each other actually do. That's in a church, so cool. You know?
Of all places.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, people out there know the name Greg Laurie. Obviously, if you listen to this station, he plays a major role in this. Chuck Smith. Here's the $64,000 question, Brent. You brought it up. One of the overarching things as you watch this movie is probably also a longing to see these kinds of things happen now. Do you leave this movie going, yeah, that could happen now? It would look different, but this type of coming together could happen now. Does this leave you hopeful?
I am hopeful for it. I am hopeful. It will take Christian leaders and Christian thought leaders, I think, to actually look at our movie and go, ow, this really hurts because I'm not carrying myself on the earth like Chuck did in this moment. So I'm have to go home and completely rebuild and rethink how I do church and how I'm building my spiritual community or not building it, honestly. Because a lot of people are going to look at the movie and go, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
The problem with that is it is what needs to happen, but it's going to take people doing unprecedented things to open up their church to marginalized groups like Chuck did. So, but if enough people woke up to that and the next morning and said, all right, let's go, God, I'm in your hands. I'm yielded to you. I surrendered. What do you want me to do? Who are the people that don't feel invited, feel scorned by society, and I'm going to go after those guys. I always have a couple points up. Man, it's crazy. It's really sharpened me. I'm a pastor's kid. You know, I'm not a preacher. It really sharpened me in a lot of my thought process. But if you think about Jesus, Jesus grew up in a hyper-religious time, and he was considered a rabbi or a teacher. But we wouldn't have the Christian faith. We wouldn't even know who Jesus was if he had stayed in the church as a rabbi and just taught like everybody else was doing. But he did the most radical thing. Like, his ministry was outside the church, you know, and he was so criticized and maligned for even the people he hung out with, even the people he talked to. And yet that was the beauty of what he did in this hyper-religious time. And yeah, man, for me, it's like a return to form of even the model that Jesus taught us to go after. He's like, hey, this is how you should pray. And I think without saying it, like, this is how you should operate as my followers. And
absolutely.
So to the long-winded answer is, yes, it can happen. Yeah. But it's going to take unprecedented effort and a rethinking of the love of God and just even the construct of church and how the church operates in the
world. Brian and I are both pastors, Brent, so this is a very interesting conversation for us.
Yeah.
What does it mean for us as leaders, and what does it mean for us to move differently, you know, or to embrace things that Jesus has called us to embrace, people Jesus has called us to? Okay, it's, I don't know if you can comment on this, but I do just want to ask you, it's interesting to me that the movie's coming out as this Asbury revival is sort of, I don't want to say winding down, but, you know, any thoughts on that? Like, have you been paying attention to what's going on there? And has making this film given you any perspective on that?
I think revivals are good. I had a personal revival working on this movie, for sure. But I'm personally looking for the revolution.
Nice.
For me, it's really weird. And, you know, and I don't mean to be cynical or skeptical at all, but like, I think, I think revival is good because it makes you stop, you know, and it does revive you, and it wakes up a slumbering, you know, if the church is slumber, it wakes up a slumbering giant or those kind of things. But at the same time, you know, I think we have a long way to go, and you know, I say this in some of my interviews too. Consider the word sanctuary. You know, back in the day, that was a beautiful term. You know, like if there was someplace, somebody that needed a safe space, they would think, I need to go to the church. The church is a sanctuary. It's a safe space for me. But man, if you talk to a lot of these kids today and say, write the 10 places where you would feel safe if the bottom dropped out of your life, man, a lot of these people not write the church on their top 10 list. So I think, to me, the revival, in my approximation, right? And I'm just a human being. I'm just one human. I don't know what's going on. But my heart and my feeling is, I think that the revival that would last, or the revolution, would be us getting back to this idea and actually fasting about it and praying about it and saying, God, make us a sanctuary again in this culture. And I think that would be the longevity, or that would be the revolution.
Great.
But dude, revivals, I'm never going to trash a revival. I mean, those are people.
Right.
That's, you know, we're too busy, man. We're capitalists and we're grinding for our money all the time, me included.
Yeah.
And these are people stopping, going, is this what this is really about? Or no, I actually need to spend time with God. I need to return to God and spend time pursuing that. And so that's always a good move, because most of us are like spiritually dysregulated, you know, like we don't spend enough time in touch with our soul, with our heart, with our spirit.
Yeah.
And so I think I think, man, just this stopping of life to pursue God and be with God, man, that's always going to be good.
Yeah.
That's always going to be good.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what the movie's speaking to, I think, is more of a, it really is, you know, what time coined the phrase, but really is, you know, I think we need a Jesus revolution. I think we need to return back to form. We need to spend time with Christ, but not only with him, but looking at his model he laid down for us and be like, whoa, okay, I'm going to be more like that tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's a great word. That's a great word.
That is
Brent,
awesome.
I'm sure you get this when there's quote unquote Jesus movies, they have like people think they're lesser, right? There's lesser. And that's why one of the reasons I find this movie fascinating, I've seen some trailers and I'm like, no, that's just a good movie.
Yeah, like it just looks like a good movie. Right.
But with that in mind, how important was it? People may not know Kelsey Grammer is the main, one of the main guys or the main person in this. How did that come about and how important was it to get somebody, you know, that everybody knows to be a part of this movie?
Well, I knew it was going to be a pleasure and an honor to work with him. I didn't realize how much of a national treasure he was. Like, when he, like, I mean, people love him. He walked down on Jimmy Fallon. They gave him a standing ovation before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I
mean, he's like beloved, you know, in our society.
Yeah, and, that's true. Like in
that's
culture,
pretty
he
amazing.
Is.
Yeah. I mean, that's just amazing. But just a wonderful human being. I mean, he's won 5 Emmys. He's been acting longer than I've been alive. He could have come in and thrown his weight around and been a terrible, terrible, insufferable person. We would have had to deal with it, but it's just the opposite. He's just one of the most humble, gentle, kind human beings. And man, just to see him do his press has been moving us deeply. But no, he's going through a deep spiritual time right now, and I inherited him in this deep, I found myself wanting to be around him more in between takes. Man, he just carries this peace and this beautiful presence.
Wow.
Where he comes in the room. So he's a big actor, right? So he's got the gravitas and he's got the
sure.
that he does, but, and he was funny and made up, you know, stuff on set that made the script funnier. I mean, he was just amazing. But beyond that, what he did was spiritually deep and authentic and vulnerable, and you just feel it. And man, his performance is going to change people's lives.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think getting him was huge. I appreciate you guys shouting out to the quality, like me and John and Andy, the Irwin brothers. That's part of our value system is we want to do stuff that's competitive with Hollywood. Like, it's fine to like grapple with faith and ask heavy questions and have even a message in your film. That's fine. I mean, Spielberg puts really strong themes and lessons in his stuff too. But if you neglect the entertainment value, if you neglect the quality, I think that sells it short. So when you say Jesus movies can be perceived as lesser than, I really feel like that's, sometimes people want to take a quick cut through trail and just kind of make a film because they have a view they espouse and they want to get it out there. But that was me and John and Andy had the opposite takes. Like, man, we better spend our 10,000 hours in the trade craft and let's be good at what we do.
That's great.
And then let's entertain the heck out of people. And then maybe in all this, you earn the ability to talk about these things that are important to you, like faith and redemption, renewal, forgiveness, you know, those different things. And so, so I'm proud that we hit hard with our themes for sure. But I think a couple of things. I think neglecting to entertain and be good at what you do sells the audience short, but it also, unfortunately, delegitimizes the genre of faith.
True.
And so, man, as the movies continue to get better in quality, and hopefully this will do really well, a bunch of people go see it, but Hollywood will pay attention because
that's right.
Hollywood is low-hanging fruit to get co-opted into the culture war.
Right.
But to me, I always tell people, like, Hollywood's God is not the devil. I know people like to say that, but but Hollywood's God is money. You know, and once you figure that out, like, this is a math problem. This is an equation to solve. Like, this is calculus. And so once you figure that out, it's like, oh man, if we can do something that looks good, that feels good, that people respond to, and people like, a bunch of people go see it, and it's a box office hit, Hollywood will pay attention to that, and they'll start letting more people in the faith genre that are good make more films. And so I think it's easy to be like, they don't want our movies because we have Jesus in it. It's like, no, dude, your movie's bad.
Yes.
So I think it's beautiful because Hollywood has this wonderful bar of quality that I love Hollywood movies. I love movies. I've loved movies since I was a kid. And I aspire to that quality, that quality and that level that they hold the bar at. Now, the stuff they choose to make sometimes, it's like... sometimes their stories aren't great either. They don't work, or the themes are they're shallow or whatever. So I think there's a place for deep spiritual content in Hollywood. And if people go see this at the movies, especially at a time where the theatrical box office is really struggling, we're going to have a lot more opportunities. And more high caliber actors will join, like Kelsey, like as the quality goes up. There's a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of people of faith
potential
all over the world. You're right. Yeah. There's also people of faith in Hollywood. And I think a lot of these guys that are very talented, I think they will come meet us on the battlefield when they see that we've achieved, like, the Hollywood standard.
That's awesome. Well, Brent McCorkle, he is one of the co-directors of The Jesus Revolution. It comes out in theaters tomorrow. I cannot encourage you enough to go see this movie. I'm excited to go see it. Get my milk duds, get a nice seat, get ready to go and watch it. Brent, this has been a true joy. Thanks. Good luck with the movie. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Do you pour your milk duds into your popcorn?
No.
You keep them separate.
I don't even get popcorn. I'm a Milk Duds guy. My wife gets the popcorn.
What? I love that. I love that.
Straight Milk Duds.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, it's been great hanging with you guys. Thanks for spending some time talking to me about the movie. And, I really appreciate your time today.
All right. Well, we will be back again tomorrow chatting with you from 4 to 6 p.m. For Brian Fromm, I'm Aubrey Sampson, and you've been listening to The Common Good on AM 1160. Hope for your life.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.